Hello, I'm your host, Tricia Arnold. In January 2020, the Linda May Mann Lima Foundation had a conversation with Tom Mann, Linda's younger brother, about the history of the many cultures and people who have lived on the Mann Ranch from its establishment in 1880. Tom calls this story The Legends of the Cosumnes. In this episode, Tom presents the 10,000-year-old history of the early peoples of the Cosumnes River Valley.
I want to present a story that I call Legends of the Cosumnes because it contains published historical facts mixed with our family's oral histories and my personal observations and knowledge that I gained from living along the lower Cosumnes River near Highway 99. Our family has lived along the Cosumnes River for 138 years. In fact, we have the oldest family-owned business in its original location in Elk Grove. We are very proud of our family's history, but we were also raised to be humble, hardworking farmers and ranchers like the generations before us. This gives us a unique insight, a snapshot, if you will, of an area close to Elk Grove, but almost completely unknown to those who call Elk Grove home. I want to start with a brief description of the Cosumnes River. The river itself is approximately 53 miles long. It starts in El Dorado County at the head of Leek Springs Meadows. Our family ran a grazing allotment in the Sierras from 1932 until just a few years ago, and the highest point that the river flowed from was on our perimeter fence line. That's a bit of a coincidence. One side of the ridge flowed into the Cosumnes River, and the other flowed down to Sherman Creek, and then into the American River at Fitz and Rance Bridge. The other end of the river ends in the tidal influence of the Delta near I-5. Ironically, that is where my great-grandfather Nelms drowned in an accident when he fell out of a boat while hunting ducks with his business partner. His widow married the partner a year or two later. We still possess the telegram that was sent to his son that detailed his death in 1883. The river has been there for a long time, at least for tens of thousands of years. It was home to the megafauna after the last ice age, and sometimes people find the remains of mammoths and other animals, as evidenced by David's picture of George Brooks with a mammoth's tooth that he found on his ranch located at Freeman Road many years ago. People have been living along the river for at least 10,000 years, and I suspect for quite a bit longer than that. Just as in every other part of the world, our area had many migrations of people from different areas of North America. These peoples brought cutting-edge technologies with them and introduced advanced stoneworking techniques. The atlatl and darts that were flung from them enabled them to down large game and protect their community if need be. Bolas and traps would ensnare the large flocks of migrating birds that would blacken the skies with their sheer numbers. Nets were used to catch the abundant fish in the river and streams, including the salmon for which a Cosumnes is named. Freshwater clams, buckeyes, acorns, blackberries, rosehips, bulbs, and grass seeds made for a nutritious and vitamin-filled diet that the native people thrived on. There were vast trade networks with raw materials and finished goods coming in from far away. Abalone shells from the ocean, cinnabar from the coast, obsidian from Oregon, Clear Lake, Lassen, and Mono County, chert and agate from the Sierras and Nevada, soapstone, steatite, greenstone, and granite were all brought in from the foothills. The Cosumnes River Valley was indeed a wonderful place to live with abundant water, food, and resources. The river and Deer Creek were lined with many different villages throughout the riparian forests. The river was life itself, but there was also a dark side to it. Although the villages were built on small knolls close to the river to protect against flooding in the winter and spring, they were generally less than 10 feet higher than the surrounding floodplain. Rare but heavy rain events in the foothills, but especially heavy snowpacks in the mountains, caused catastrophic floods. There would be no warning, and the effects would be absolutely devastating to the people living there. I once read an account from the 1820s by a Spanish observer of an immense flood in the Sacramento Valley that had killed up to 50% of the native people living there. Today, people who live along the river anxiously watch the weather forecasts and know that if the foothills get 4 inches of rain in a 24-hour period, then we will get a flood. The first Europeans visited California in the 1500s, but as far as I know, they didn't get into our area until around 1800. Sutter came into the confluence of the Sacramento and American rivers in 1839, but the Hudson Bay trappers had already been taking beavers and otters out by then. In 1844, William Daler held title to the lands north of the Kissimmees that was then called the Omochimneys Grant. Daler had no chance to do anything with his land, and he may have allowed the Murphy family to use some of his land near present-day Highway 99. Martin Murphy Jr. raised cattle and wheat along the Kissimmees near Highway 99 and was probably the first dedicated farmer and rancher in our subject territory. He sold his holdings and cattle in 1850 and moved to Sunnyvale. 1850 was also the year that Daler died, leaving his grant tied up in the courts until 1870. One byproduct of the flood of immigrants to our area was a loss of wildlife. When our great-grandfather got to the Kissimmees River in 1882 to plant his hops, all of the abundant game that the area was known for was gone. There were no elk left, no deer, bears, beavers, otters, or minks. They were all hunted or trapped to extinction in this area. And market hunters had wiped out a lot of the migrating geese and ducks, all to satisfy the demand of the growing and hungry cities. Now, after the prelude, we've hit the main part of the story. I have always been fascinated by the diversity of the people along the river. Why did this happen? I remember as a young boy, after mowing my grandfather's lawn, he would come out of the house and sit in his wooden chair under the massive walnut tree and reminisce. He would tell me stories about Ah Chung, the Taras and Kanais, as well as accounts of Dan, the former slave, Nabuo Sakamoto, and of Charlie McKean, the grandfather of the current chairman of the Wilton Rancheria. He carried a deep respect for these people and had spent countless hours working side by side with them in the fields. They also returned a favor by calling him Don. I always wondered why everyone in town called Grandpa Don when his name was John. It was one of Charlie McKean's sons that explained it to me when I was an adult. He said that the people that worked for and with Grandpa respected him for the way that he treated them. All of these people that I have mentioned also lived on our ranch for many years with their families in cabins near John's house, at Rolla's Mound, on the island, and down in the bottom. Don was a nickname and a title reference to the Spanish Dons in California before the Gold Rush. They had large ranches and the smart ones treated their people quite well. I was shocked at the simplicity of the explanation.
This audiocast is a production of the Linda May Mann Lima Foundation and is protected by copyright. To enjoy other audiocasts and get information about the year-round activities of the foundation, please visit our website at lmmlfoundation.org.